Chapter 19. The assault on Arcania began quietly enough. A few sensor alarms chimed in warning. Then the silky voice of a female tactical controller reported the coordinates of the invasion fleet. A circle of darkness smaller than a thumbnail appeared at the indicated place and blocked the light of the distant stars. The dark area expanded quickly, to the size of a human hand. Then a head. The stars reappeared, winking in and out of sight as thousands of Yorick coral ships passed in front of them. A flurry of light points sprayed out from the fleet, then swelled into the blue-white dots of plasma balls. They passed harmlessly through the mine shell. The droid brains were programmed to ignore weapons, then flared out of existence against the planetary shields. A volley of magma missiles followed. A storm of low-power stutter lasers flashed out from Arcania's new Balmoran arms defense platforms to intercept and destroy the missiles on the far side of the mine shells. When the fire inadvertently struck and detonated one mine, the shell instantly realigned itself for optimum coverage. Finally, what looked like an entire asteroid belt burst into the blue light of Arcania's sun. Dozens of large clearing ships went straight for the mines and opened their pointed noses, spewing rocky decoys into the shell. The rest of the fleet swirled out to surround the planet, spewing magma missiles and gretchens at the orbital defense platforms. The TACCON's silky voice came over the blast boat's comm channel. "Guard ships, take cover behind your platforms. Turbo lasers will commence fire in 3 seconds." The battered blast boat slid into the sensor shadow of the Wild Knight's assigned platform, and Danny's readouts went to zero. She slammed her palm against the console. "How can I correlate anything from here?"
"You will have your chance, Danny Quee."
Their platform opened up with its variable pulse turbo lasers, filling the darkness outside with sheets of colored light. Saba, sitting in her command chair near the front, half-turned so she could fix a reptilian eye on Danny.
"Use the weight to calm yourself. It is dangerous to enter a fight angry."
"I'm not angry."
"You feel angry to me,"
One Ton rumbled from the pilot's seat. "And that'll get someone killed. Calm down or close up."
"You were angry when Mara came to tell us about Anakin's plan," Saba said. "Perhaps you wished to go along."
"You're smarter than that," Danny retorted, "or this bunch of Gretchen traps wouldn't have lasted this long. The last place I want to be is another Yuuzhan Vong holding cell."
"No anger there," One Ton observed sarcastically.
"She is upset with Master Skywalker."
Ezol sat in the topside turret, his long tongue flicking the pale salt crust clinging to his upper lip.
"She thinks he should have asked her."
Danny glared up at the Arcona. "Stay out of my mind."
"It is in your face, not your mind."
Danny was not certain she believed him. Ezol could be a little sly when he was holding back on the salt, but there was no denying the irritation she felt at the suggestion. "He shouldn't have let Anakin talk him into it," Danny said. "Those kids have no idea what they're getting into."
"The Voxen must be exterminated," Saba said. "Master Skywalker has surely considered the risks."
"Master Skywalker has not seen a breaking," Danny shot back. "He has no idea."
"The strike team will commandeer the ship before the breaking," Saba said.
"Sure they will," Danny said. Saba's scaly tail slapped the floor.
"What would you have us do? Go after them?"
The sudden apprehension in the Force reminded Danny of what she was saying. Saba's face was so stoic and fearsome-looking that it was easy to forget she had emotions, too, and it had completely slipped Danny's mind that Saba's apprentices and son were with the strike team. Knowing the Bearbell did not really understand the concept of an apology and would probably have found it disingenuous if she did, Danny did not even try. She simply gave a small nod.
"If we could find them, Saba, that's exactly what I'd do," Danny said. "I'd go after them."
Saba studied her with a black eye for a moment. Then the TAC-Con's voice came over the comm channel.
Guard ships forward. Remember your areas and stay close to your platforms.
Let us do our own jobs first.
Saba gestured at Danny's instrument panel.
Knowing how the Yamasks communicate does us no good until we understand their language. Did you not say that?
Without awaiting a reply, the Barabel turned away and ordered the squadron forward. Though Danny's anger was gone, the force was now filled with grimness and apprehension, and not only Saba's. Though the exchange in the blast boat had not been transmitted over the comm channels, the rest of the Wild Knights could sense their leader's anxiety. Danny instantly felt ashamed of her anger and regretted her thoughtless words even more than before. In a squadron that relied on empathy to bind it together, runaway emotions could get someone killed. Danny focused her attention on her instruments and promised herself that she would coax every bit of data possible out of the battle. It was the only apology Saba 17 would understand. They emerged from behind the platform shields, not into the maelstrom of whirling fighter craft that Danny expected, but into a meshwork of streaking missiles and flashing laser bolts. Having penetrated the mineshell, the Yuuzhan Vong capital ships were laying off, firing salvos of plasma balls and magma missiles at the orbiting defense platforms. One platform, an older KDY system designed for the turbolaser exchanges of the Rebellion era, was jetting a long plume of borum coolant into space. Otherwise, the enemy barrages were proving remarkably inefficient. On the other hand, the motley assemblage defending Arcania, the planet's military, volunteer squadrons like Saba's and a small New Republic task force rushed in to attempt a delaying action, were doing remarkably well. The slow but powerful KDY platforms were breaking up concentrations of enemy ships, preventing the invaders from mounting any sort of planetward thrust. The smaller but newer Balmoran arms platforms used their long-range stutter lasers to destroy incoming missile volleys and pepper the big Yuuzhan Vong capital ships with showers of random-intensity attacks. Whenever a low-power laser struck Yorick Coral, a sensor detected the strike and automatically fired a pair of devastating blasts from the platform's charge-storing turbolasers. The system was as deadly as it was efficient, and there were already scores of lumpy derelicts spinning off into space. What Danny did not see was a swarm of coral skippers rushing to disable the platforms. She checked her instruments and found all readouts hovering down near the bottom. "What do they wait for?" One Ton grumbled. "I see the skips on my sensor screen. Clouds of them."
"Perhaps they fear the battle platforms,"
Saba said. "No," Danny said, suddenly feeling relieved. "They never intended to come in. This is a feint."
"A feint?"
Saba turned to look at Danny.
"You cannot know that."
"Can't I?" Danny gestured at her instrument panel, where all of the data bars continued to hover near the bottom. "If the attack had truly stalled, don't you think the Yamask would be going wild?" Saba left her chair and peered over Danny's shoulder for a long time, then finally said,
"This makes no sense. They would conquer at half the strength."
"But not without cost," Danny said. "Perhaps their resources are not as limitless as we think." Saba considered this for a moment, then turned to One Ton.
"Calculate a course for Eclipse."
"What about the Yuuzhan Vong?" One Ton asked. "They're not going to let us."
"The Yuuzhan Vong are going to withdraw,"
Saba said.
"They are saving their fleet for something else. Something we must warn Master Skywalker about."